if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91, and we're just going to read one verse. I'm not going to be before you very long. I don't have anything, you know, just deep. I was just praying, and this is what hit me, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully this will bless somebody. I just want to read Psalm 91, verse number 1. And you've all heard this verse many, many times before, but I want to kind of come at it from a different perspective. Psalm 91, verse 1 simply says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I just want to preach you a simple message just entitled, The Secret Place. The Secret Place. We've been talking about standing on holy ground and being in God's presence. I want to talk to you about a different aspect of the secret place and what I believe that place truly is. And so we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and just enable His Spirit to speak to us today. I don't come, like I said, I don't want to come with enticing words or man's wisdom or just some cute speech, but I want to come with the Word of God. I believe that this Word is for someone to transform their lives, to really connect them to a Savior. That's my goal, my objective today. It's really to connect someone to Christ. And so let us pray today. Lord, we just love You. God, we just thank You. God, there simply are not enough words to describe or encapsulate the wonders of Your greatness and Your majesty. You're excellent, oh God, in all that You do. There's no one that can compare to You. God, the heavens are Your throne and the earth is Your footstool. God, there's no one that can compare to Your grace and to Your peace and to Your joy and Your loving kindness. We just thank You so much. We thank You so much, God, for just the opportunity, God, to hear Your word and God, for You to speak to us today. I pray, oh God, that even as I speak, I pray that Your Spirit would penetrate through the barriers that the enemy has set up to prevent people from experiencing true transformation by the Word of God, that someone today would come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, that someone today would come in contact with the amazing grace that causes the lost to be found and the blind to see. I speak it now in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God even now stir within our hearts and stir within us that, Lord Jesus, we'd experience the true plan and deliverance that You have for our lives. God, I put this message into Your capable hands and I thank You in advance for the victory and for the expectation that we're going to see today. We thank You, we praise You, and in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about the secret place. And I used this analogy in my Bible study on Tuesday when I was talking about the new man and the new creation. If you were here during that series of lessons, you're going to hear a little bit of that again, a little bit of some review, but I'm going somewhere different with it. And that really, humanity, it's like looking at a cell phone and a cell phone tower. That you look at a cell phone and a cell phone tower, that the tower is the source of the cell phone's service. It's the source of the cell phone's functionality. And that the cell phone, the farther away it gets from the tower, the worse the functionality of the cell phone gets, the worse the reception gets. And then you start dropping calls and you can't get on Facebook or you can't get on Twitter or watch YouTube videos because you're not close to the tower. And whenever you're out of range, your phone will continue to search, trying to find the tower, trying to find the reception. And if you've noticed that whenever you're in an area where you don't have phone service and your phone is looking for reception, that it drains the battery because it's trying everything it can to fulfill its primary function as a phone, which is to make a phone call. It's so funny today that technology now, our cell phones can do anything. It can do our taxes, we can do calendars, you can play video games, you can control your television, it can do anything. And the one thing that we tend to ignore sometimes is that it's a phone, that we actually use it to call people. And the thing is that the phone, if it's out of range of the cell phone tower, it will search and search, trying to find that tower, trying to find that connection to its functionality. And if it doesn't find it, it will drain the battery very quickly. All of its resources are devoted in trying to reconnect to that tower. It's ignoring the fact that, you know, it can't do your calendar. It's ignoring the fact that you can't play a game on it. It's trying to find the tower. And that is a beautiful analogy of what people are in relation to Christ, that Jesus Christ is our source. He's our tower. In Him is life. In Him is the light of men. In Him is fullness of joy joy and full of glory. He, in him is everything that we could ever need. And so many people, they're out of range of the cell phone tower, and they're exerting their force and using all of their energy, looking for love in all the wrong places, unable to find the true thing that gives them true functionality. Yes, they can play games out in the world. Yes, they can get drunk. And yes, they might find some happiness in a relationship, but they cannot fulfill their primary functionality as a human being because they're not in connection with the cell phone tower. They're not in connection with the true source of life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except but by me. That if you want to find out what your functionality is, you want to find out what the meaning of life is, you must get connected with the source of all life, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the resurrection, and the life. He that cometh to me, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You've got to get connected with the cell phone tower. People are trying to find the secret place. That the Buddhists are trying to reach nirvana with their enlightenment and with their studies and meditation. That the Muslims, they're trying to get some sort of accolades and some sort of validity with Allah. And that's why they're killing themselves and blowing people up, trying to see if they can even make it into heaven. People are trying drugs and trying relationships and trying sex and trying everything they can to try and find this place of contentment. That the basis of human desires is that we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That you look throughout humanity, that humanity is trying its absolute best to find happiness. You look at any action that human beings try to do, it all boils down to that they're trying to do that because they want to be happy. You look at it, you know, well, I want to get a job, or I want to go to college. Why do you want to go to college? So I can get a good paying job. Why do you want a good paying job? So I'm getting money. Why do you want the money? Because I want to be happy. I want to buy some things that make me happy. You look at any action that human beings do, it all breaks down to this, that they are pursuing happiness. They're trying to find some fulfillment. They're trying to find a secret place. But all of these efforts, they are useless if they're not done according to the Word of God. So I want to talk to you today about the secret place. And in our scripture text in Psalm 91, the word secret place is the word in the Hebrew sether, which means a hiding place. It's a hiding place. It's a place of retreat. It's a refuge. It's a place. It's a getaway. It's a vacation. It's a place where you can be at rest and that you can be at peace. And the Bible talks a lot about the secret place throughout Scripture. A lot of us, we refer back to Psalms 91. But throughout the Scripture, it actually talks about the secret place. Psalms does talk about it quite a bit. And the fact of the matter is, the secret place, some facts about the secret place, is that it is a place to hide from trouble. The Bible says in Psalms 27 verse 4 that one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion in the secret. Notice that. In the secret, the hiding place, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Hallelujah. He shall put me in a place where nothing can bother me, where nothing can penetrate this place of solitude, my fortress of solitude, this place that I'm at. Nothing can penetrate this barrier that God has for me. The secret place is a place that you can hide from trouble, where trouble can't get you, where the bill collectors don't bother you. Where baby mama drama don't get to you. Where all the stuff that's going on, the stress on the job, it can't faze you because you're in this secret place. Psalm 32:7 says that thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. That this place that God has for us is a place of hiding. It's a place of protection. It's a place of protection where the devil's weapons, that they are thwarted, they are overturned, they are brought to naught. And that's why the scripture says that in Isaiah 54 verse 17, it says that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. That even though the weapons, they are formed, the weapons that are brought forth, they cannot prosper, they cannot be effective in my life, because I'm in a place that is secret, a place of hiding, a place of protection. The Bible goes on to say that the secret place is a place where I can find answers. It's a place where I can find results. I can find answers to the questions and the quandaries of life. We find in Psalms 81 verse 7, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah, that if you're looking for answers, you're looking for solutions, you've got to get to the secret place. You've got to get to the specific place that God has designated for him to interact with you. So just to review, the secret place is a place of retreat, a place where the enemy can't find you. The secret place is a place of protection where the enemy can't hurt you. He can't bother you. The secret place is a place where you find answers and you find fulfillment to all of life's problems. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now the question is, how do we get to that secret place? How do we get to that secret place? Well, and this is going to be a bit of some review if you've been listening to my teachings on the new man, that in order to get to the secret place, you must have a fear of the Lord. You've got to have a fear of the Lord. And when I use the term fear of the Lord, for those of you that have heard this before, just bear with me. That those of you that have heard the term fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean a phobia or a terror of God. That a lot of times God has been described as some bully or some dictator, some tyrant that is looking to pop you upside the head and looking to punish you, looking to condemn you, looking to judge you. And that's not the proper fear of the Lord. That people, they're coming to God, they're coming to church because they're scared of going to hell. And that is not what God's will is for you. God wants to have a loving relationship with you. God wants to be intimate with you. He doesn't want you to look at him as some abusive husband that's going to just slap you and beat you up and imprison you if you don't do what he says. No, God is a loving father. God wants to have intimacy and relationship with you. So the fear of the Lord isn't to be terrified of God. The fear of the Lord, it's more than that. And the Bible says that if you have a fear of the Lord, that you'll discover the secret place. Psalm 25 verse 12 says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That when you are fearing God properly, having a respect and a reverence for God, that God is able to reveal unto you his secrets. When you are approaching God with the right attitude and the right perspective, that God can reveal unto you his secrets. What it truly is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth or the wicked mouth do I hate. That the fear of the Lord is to hate and to despise evil. God cannot show you his revelations. He can't show you his secrets until you let go and forsake the wickedness that you're in. Until you repent and you do an about face, a 180 degree turn towards God and let go. When you give yourself 100% to God and say, God, I despise this thing so much that I want to get rid of it so that I can have relationship with you. When you make a decision like that, then God can show you his secrets. God can't reveal everything to you and can't give you stuff if you're still holding on to the past, if you're still holding on to Joe who did you wrong, or still holding on to that relationship from way many years ago, still holding on to that tragedy that befell you so many years ago. God cannot give it to you because your hands are closed. You can't grab onto something with closed fists. You've got to do what Frozen said, let it go and start going towards God. And you got to say, I hate my sin. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you don't move and you won't change until you get uncomfortable and hate where you're at. I've used this example before, that you look at people who lose weight. Who, if you watch The Biggest Loser, you look at these people who lose, 200, 300 pounds. How do they do it? They finally get so sick and tired of the fat jokes. They get sick and tired of splitting their pants when they bend over. They get sick and tired of not being able to fit in a seat. They get tired of not being able to go up the stairs and running out of breath. They get so sick and tired of it that finally they start hating those desserts. They start hating that cheeseburger. They start hating all these things that used to be an ally to them. They despise it. And once they hate it, it's lost its power over them. And then they will start going towards their new future. If you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to cut some things loose. You have to let some things go. You have to cut off some relationships, turn off some TV channels, throw away some DVDs, get out of the circumstance that you're in. Quit playing with God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. When you start hating evil, God can start revealing himself to you. You ever try to talk to somebody that thinks they know everything? It's one of the most annoying things there is. You know that they don't know. You know that that's stupid. That will get your full self killed. But they just don't want to listen. You know how the Bible defines a fool? The Bible defines a fool not as someone who makes bad mistakes, not someone who makes a slip up. The Bible defines a fool as someone who refuses to learn. Because it's one thing that if you make a mistake, okay, I made a poor judgment call, but I can learn from that mistake and I can change. But if you refuse to learn, then you're truly a fool because you're rejecting any type of ability to improve upon yourself. You're saying, I don't require any further education. I don't require any help. I'm fine being stupid. And you can't fix stupid, as some people say. A true fool is someone who refuses to learn, refuses to listen. And the word of God can go forth preaching and telling you that God has something great for you. Jesus Christ loves you, but you refuse to learn. You refuse to change. You keep running back to that person that abused you. You keep running back to that addiction. You keep running back to that temptation. You refuse to learn. You refuse to change. You refuse to receive any type of correction from the pastor. You refuse to learn. And because of that, you'll never progress. You'll keep repeating the same grade over and over and over and over again. While people are graduating and moving on with their degree, you're still in kindergarten, still doing childish stuff, still stuck in the same thing. Hope I'm helping somebody today. You've got to get a fear of the Lord. You've got to start hating evil. I'm tired of being a slave. I'm tired of being stuck in this mess. I'm tired of being abused. I'm tired of being some second-class citizen for Satan. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. It's time to change. I hate this thing. I'm letting it go. I'm forsaking it. I'm abandoning it. It's dead to me. I'm moving on with Christ. I'm going to bigger and greater things. When you get a hatred for evil, the Bible said that the fear of the Lord, Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the way that you get to the secret place in God is you got to get a fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Once you hate evil, God can now impart unto you his wisdom and his knowledge and give you instructions, the roadmap to get to this secret place. To this secret place. Now, I want to really talk about what is the secret place. What is the secret place? Now, a lot of people, we say that the secret place is your prayer closet, or the secret place is just being in the presence of God and getting goosebumps and getting tingles and shouting and getting emotional. I want to submit unto you that the secret place is something so much greater than that. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. I want to tell you what I believe the secret place truly is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says this, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Notice that it says he dwells in him and he in God. If you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember our scripture text, Psalm 91 verse 1, that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide in the shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty. Now let's keep reading in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The secret place is love. The secret place is God's love, to dwell in God's love. When you're in love, you think, you remember when you were in love? That overwhelming feeling that when you're in love, they could do no wrong. Nothing fazes you when you're in love. When you're in God's love, nothing can faze you. We keep looking for a prayer closet or a tingling symbol or some feeling. No, what the secret place is love. That if you're in God, if you're dwelling in the secret place, you're dwelling in the love of God. Because it's in the love of God that you truly find fulfillment. It's in the love of God that you find safety and protection. That any weapon that's formed against you cannot prosper when you're abiding in the love of God. Verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." If you realize how much Jesus Christ loves you, you will not be scared about the bill that's on your table right now. If you realize how much Jesus loved you, you'll not be so scared about the doctor's report. If you understood how much Jesus Christ loves you, you would not run away from the church, but you'd run to an altar where you can get connected to a loving Father. Put verse 18 on the screen real quick. Verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear of torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." The secret place, the place where I can hide, the place where nobody can touch me, the place where the fiery wicked darts of Satan cannot touch me, is inside the love of Jesus Christ. It's not a prayer closet. It's not a tinkling anointing or some goosebump. It's the love of Jesus Christ. When you get in the love of Jesus Christ, nothing can stop you, because his love will secure you. His love will keep you. His love is the fulfillment of every law and promise in the Word of God. His love is the greatest thing that there is. The Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, "And above all things have fervent charity." That word charity in the Greek is agape, or love. The God type of love. Have a fervent, passionate, intense love among yourselves in the church. "For love shall cover the multitude of sins." When the accuser of the brethren comes to condemn me and say you're unworthy, and say you're a dog, and say you're filthy, and say you're wretched, and say you're blind, and say you're a loser, and say you're rejected, and say you're isolated, and you're ostracized, I can just get in the love of Jesus Christ, because the love of Jesus Christ covers a multitude of sins. And that even when people try to talk bad about me and say I'm this and I'm that, I can't hear, because I'm under the love of Jesus Christ. I'm in a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, hallelujah, under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells, if you're in the love of Jesus Christ, the Bible said that you'll abide, that you'll stay, you'll remain in the love of Jesus Christ. And as long as you remain in my love, the Bible said that my joy will be full in you. This was in my notes. Turn with me to John 15. I want to show you something real quick. Go to John chapter 15, and let's look at verse 13. John 15, I believe, verse 13. Praise God. John 15, verse 13. Actually, start at verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things have that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now I want you to look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. Trying to find this verse. This is the verse I want. I'm sorry, not verse 17. Go to verse 9. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments," look what it says, "ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you." He said, the reason I'm telling you this, to abide in my love, look what he's saying. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." He says, when you get in the secret place, when you abide in my love, he says that one, my joy will remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy, the Bible says in John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, I believe, or sorry, 1 John verse 2, not 1 John, I'm sorry, 3 John verse 2, got my mind mixed up. 3 John verse 2, it says that, I believe, "that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, if I'm not mistaken." Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. It's not 3 John verse 2. It's in one of the epistles of John where it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That what brings the Father joy is when you walk in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, if you do that, he says that your joy will be full. He says that your joy will be full. You'll find fullness of joy and completeness when you're abiding in the love of Jesus Christ. And as you're abiding in there, nothing can touch you. Nothing can get you. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye be, then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Remember I said the secret place is a hiding place. And that when you are in Christ, that your life is hid in God, with Christ. That the devil can't find you when you're abiding in the love of God. When you realize how much Jesus Christ loved you, that Jesus loved you at first thought, not at first sight, that he loved you before you even born. God made a decision to love you for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poor, and death cannot do you part, because if you should die, you'll go into his arms, into his presence, that his love is greater. It can forgive any sin. It can overcome any challenge. His love can conquer any enemy. Get into the love of Jesus Christ. Quit looking for someone to anoint you with oil. Get into the Word of God and find out how much Jesus Christ loves you. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, but behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. This is what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we have the honor of being called a child of God. If you would understand how much God loves you, then you'll find that secret place, that place where you are basking in his love. The way that the devil gets you is to get you to fall out of God's love, or to try to get out of God's love. There's a story in the scripture, I believe it's in 2 Samuel, talks about a story of Abner. I'm not sure you've ever heard this story. There was a guy named Abner who was a general in Saul's army. And in this particular part of the Bible, the house of Saul was fighting against the house of David. David had just become king of Israel. And they had their two armies met each other, and Abner was fleeing, and this guy named Asahel started following after him. Started chasing him. And he said, no, please, I don't want to fight you, because if I fight you, well, I might kill you, and then you got your brothers going to come into this, and I'm going to be in trouble. So I don't want to fight you. But Asahel just kept coming after him. The two eventually got an altercation, and Joab won the fight, and he killed him. And the Bible says that Abner, he went to a city of refuge. Because the Bible has a law that if you kill someone, or if you commit a crime by unintentionally, that there's a city of refuge you can go to where you can be safe, so that the family doesn't exact revenge on you. You could stay in this city and you could be fine. You could stay there until the high priest died. When the high priest died, then you're free. And the thing is, Abner went to this city of refuge. And Joab comes to the city and says, man, I want to talk to you for a second. Now, Joab is Asahel's brother. He wants to get revenge on Abner. So I want to talk to you for a second. And the Bible, if you read it, Abner goes just a little bit outside the gate to talk to Joab. And as soon as he steps outside of the gate, the Bible says Joab took a dagger and stabbed him and killed him. And David mourned over and said, died ye as a fool dieth. Do not get out of the love of Jesus Christ. If he had just stayed in that city, Joab couldn't have touched him. But he was just at the gates. He was just right at the border. And Joab killed him. Stay in the love of Jesus Christ. Do not let anything tempt you or persuade you or entice you to get out of the love of Jesus Christ. David said he died as a fool dies. When you step out of God's love, you're opening yourself up to a foolish death. Stay in the love of Jesus Christ. Stay in the secret place. Don't let anything frustrate you and get you off kilter. Remember how much Jesus Christ loved you. That while you were in sin, that Jesus Christ forgave you. That while everyone else rejected you, he died for you. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remain in his love. Remain in his love. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says the reason why we conquer is because Jesus Christ loves us. The reason why you're able to prevail, the reason why you're able to be victorious, is because of the love of Jesus Christ. I tell you today that the summary of the gospel, of the entire scripture, is understanding how much Jesus Christ loves you. Verse 38, For I persuade that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can stop you from getting there, except one thing. One thing. Turn me to 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. The one thing that can stop you from receiving the things of God and getting that secret place is your own self. One of the reasons why we don't receive of God is because we condemn ourselves. And the thing is that the Bible says if our heart condemns, it says that God's greater than our heart. God's love is greater than the self-condemnation. God is greater than the insecurities. God is greater than the depression. God is greater than all these things because God has justified you. He said that if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you fully have confidence in God. The real mark of faith isn't just the faith that moves mountains and heals sicknesses. It's the faith that enables a person to come before a holy, righteous God, completely honest and sincere, and realizing that it's God's love that has enabled me to stand before him, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That is what God type of faith is. Because the fact of the matter is that we are so unworthy of ourselves. We are so undeserving, and it takes faith to believe and understand. It takes faith to believe and to understand that Jesus Christ has justified you and that you can approach him and have a relationship with him. This is the secret place. The secret place is getting in the love of Jesus Christ. I close with this last verse, and it's my scripture text. I want to read all of Psalm 91 to you. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow, the protection of the Almighty. When you stay in God's love, the enemy can't touch you. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He said, when you're staying in God's love, sickness can't touch you. Sickness has no power over you. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I want to just testify just for a moment about the love of Jesus Christ. Just on Friday, I was at work, and I got a call from my wife. My wife is in Kalamazoo, Michigan right now with my son. I got a call from Kalamazoo, Michigan while I was at work saying that my son had contracted a fever and had a fever of 102.4 degrees. He just took a nap, and Susie Walker, he just had this fever. And what a typical parent's feeling to do is to panic. It's to get scared because I'm over 200 miles away. I can't do anything. And she said, he's crying. He's restless. He's crabby. He's on my lap just crying. And so, you know, that I need you to pray. And now I could get scared and get concerned because a temperature of that degree, if it's maintained, could kill a child. I just said, you know what? I understand who my father is. I know that my father loves me. And because I know that my father loves me, I know that no pestilence is going to be able to take my son. I know that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. And I went to my car, and I got on the phone. I texted my brother and sister-in-law, and I texted my best friend Eric and Jen. And I said, let's bind this thing in Jesus' name. And I began to speak to that sickness. That even though I'm 200 miles away, the power of God is not limited because I'm in the secret place. And I spoke to that fever. I said, because I know who my daddy is, and I know if I cry out to my father, then my father, because he loves me, he's going to show up on time. And I began to speak that. I said, take your hands off my son. You cannot have him in the name of Jesus. I render you useless. I curse you in the name of Jesus. And a half hour later, my son had no fever. But the devil is a stubborn sucker, and he came back. Later on that evening, my son got the fever again, this time worse. It went up to over 103 degrees this time. I said, the devil is a lie. I know whom I believe. I know that I'm in the secret place. He tried to get me out into fear. But remember, perfect love casteth out fear. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. and of a sound mind. I said, the devil is a lie. I know the word of God is true. I know that my daddy loves me. And I went down to my office and I said, the devil's a lie. And I began to stomp on the enemy's head. And I said, in the name of Jesus, sickness, you get out. When he woke up the next morning, the fever is gone again. And he's still healed today. Why? I didn't get scared because I know that my daddy loves me. I stayed in the secret place. Nothing moves me. Nothing phases me because I know who holds my hand. I know where I am. I know who I believe in. I know where my trust is in. My trust is in Jesus Christ. He didn't get me out of the secret place. He's trying to get me into fear, but I was in the perfect love of Jesus Christ. And God's perfect love, it casts away the fear. Praise God. Don't tell me this word don't work. Don't tell me God does not heal. Don't tell me God doesn't love. I've proven it. I've tasted and I've seen. That now I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ loves me. Psalm 91 verse 7 says, a thousand shall fall at thy side. A thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with an eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Why? Because I'm in love and there's no evil in love. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, the Bible says. You see what this says? When you get in the secret place in God's love, not just feelings and emotions and tinglings, they go away. But the love of Jesus Christ abides forever. Stay in love with Jesus Christ. Remember how much he loves you. And when you remember how much God loves you, nothing can stop you. Nothing can intimidate you. Nothing can bother you. No arrow can penetrate the love of Jesus. He said, look, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And Paul lists all this stuff that could not separate. The only thing that can separate you is if you start condemning yourself. Well, I messed up this week, and man, I don't know if Jesus loves. No, he still loves you. If Jesus loved you while you were yet in sin, how much more does he love you now that you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, now you've been baptized in his name, now that you are a new person in Christ? Do not doubt the love of Jesus Christ. It's love. Jesus loves you today. I don't know who this was for. This is what I felt in my spirit when I was praying this morning, was that God is trying to tell someone, I love you. And you have to quit condemning yourself. Quit looking, oh God, I'm so unworthy. I'm so all this. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Don't let your heart condemn you and disinherit you from the thing that God has for your life. Get to the secret place. Do you understand how much Jesus Christ loves you? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, Jesus was dying for the very people that were killing him. If you're the Christ, come off the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, what love, what manner of love. What manner of love that Jesus would leave the throne and the splendor of heaven to become a baby and to become helpless. To be rejected, not only by just a few people, but by all mankind. And to have the evil and the iniquity of the entire human race to be laid upon his shoulders. What love that we have. It bothers me when people come to church and they don't praise the Lord. And you're looking for some external thing as a reason, as a motivation to worship God. You're looking for God to do some miracle or something else. The thing is, the reason why I should love God isn't because that he is a provider. Isn't just because he's a protector. Isn't because that he's the Lamb of, he's all these other things. You know, he's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's the Ancient of All Days, all this stuff. The defining attribute of God is love. God is love. And that love is passionately pursuing you. We've got to get to the secret place. The secret place is in the love of Jesus Christ. Let's get into that place. Let's stand. I'm done. Do you understand how much Jesus loves you? It's so easy for us to look at ourselves. It's like, man, I messed up again. I sinned again. I made a mistake again. It, It's so easy. And the Bible says, talks about that our heart will condemn ourselves. But the scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Stop condemning yourselves. The reason why that a lot of times we don't receive the things that we pray for is because we're not in faith. And the thing is that you're not in faith about is that you're not in faith that Jesus Christ loves you. If you can't believe that Jesus Christ loves you, then you cannot believe that he'll pay your bills, or you can't believe that he'll heal your body. You can't believe that he'll restore your marriage. You can't believe any of the other stuff. Because all these actions that Jesus does is motivated by one thing, his love for you. His love for you. We got to get back to love. Get back to love. And that's why the secret place is called a hiding place. When you first get married, what's the first thing you do? You get away from everybody. You go on a honeymoon. You go to a place where nobody can bother you. The phone is off. Nobody can get in touch with you. And that is the way it is with Christ. When you get into Christ's love, you go to this hideaway. You go to this getaway where there is intimacy, where there is rest, where there is peace, where there is fulfillment for everything that you need. And you can have communion with the Father. I think it's fitting that an altar call where sinners come to get away from their sins is also the place where people get married. You get married at the altar and you get forgiven at the altar. Because the two are really intrinsically linked. That when you come down this altar to repent of your sins, you're renewing your vows to Christ and you're reminding yourself of Christ's vow to you. And Jesus is like, man, come on, let's... The wedding ceremony is over. Why don't you come with me? Let's get away from all this stuff. Let's get away from the crowds and get away from all the problems. Let's just go to a secret place. A place where I can show you how much I love you. Do you want to renew your vows today? Do you want Jesus to take you by the hand and just take you to that secret place? All you have to do is just, Lord, I believe that you love me. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you've forgiven me. You can be at your job, but still be in the secret place because you're remembering that Jesus loves you. You can be driving down the road and still be in the secret place because you remember where you were when Christ found you. You can be turmoil all around you, everything falling apart. You've lost your job. Everything's in decay, but you're still in that secret place because you know how much Jesus Christ loves you. Hey, glory, I feel the Spirit in that. Thank you, Jesus. It's the love of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. He loves you. He loves you. Stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself down. Stop saying, I'm worthless, all this stuff. Jesus says, I've justified you. And I've glorified you. And I love you. Quit running from me. Come to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, the Bible says. Reach out for somebody in this audience. You need to hear this message. Stay in the love of Jesus Christ. Stay in his love. God bless you.